You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Well, here is the anchor. And he's up in a big spot right here. Bases full with one out in the 10th. Chops this out to left field. McCormick back it up. Here's a third. Oh! It's off the glove. And the Diamondbacks win the ball game. Maybe not how you envisioned it, but it worked out.
All right, the Astros falling in Arizona to the Diamondbacks last night. Lack of offense, Framber Valdez struggling with control. It just was not a game for the good game for the guys.
No, it wasn't. It was an ugly end there, but you know, not the end of the world that he dropped the ball. There was one out. So, I mean, if he even caught that in the left field corner, I don't think there was any chance that McCormick was going to be able to gun it home and throw out the runner at home. But it is frustrating. It's one of those games that you look at and you're like, okay, so even with Framber Valdez not giving you a good start where he had five walks, where his control was an issue, where you now are a little concerned, okay, is the inconsistency ever going to be something that he's able to conquer? You were only able to get, you know, six hits. Two guys essentially did all your work for you. It was Altuve who had two, and it was McCormick, and then Jeremy Pena had one hit. But in a game where your starter gets chased after three, and your bullpen does what it does, I guess I'm happy about the bullpen, but the lineup, come on, you got a dreadnought of a lineup. You got to give me more than that.
Definitely not a good game. Framber Valdez, like we said, just had issues kind of the entire time. Gave up five walks, threw only 40 of his 75 pitches for strikes. Across those three innings, two hits, one earned run, three strikeouts. I'm not super worried about it this early on.
I'm not worried
either. Do think that
it's
the
annoyed.
Question with, yeah, it's annoying. And then the question with pitching, of course, as Lance McCullers Jr. remains out and as we don't have a solid timetable for when he will return.
Yep.
There's concern there.
But you're 4-2.
Minor concern.
On the longest road trip of the year to open up the season, and now you head to Seattle this weekend against a Mariners team that is, I believe, 2-4 to open things up. I felt like the Mariners made some really good strides last season and that they were very aggressive this offseason, so I don't think this is going to be like maybe Mariners teams of old where they're complete pushovers, where you're going 18-1 against them over the course of the year. But I hope that the bats pick up a little bit. And I also hope that we see, Vanessa, less games that feature two runs combined.
Yeah, how'd your day go yesterday?
In the first nine innings. Look, forget my DMV idiocy, okay? That is entirely a me problem. It is a created problem by myself.
But it's indicative of how long the game was.
Yeah, I went to multiple DMVs, and the game was still in progress after I finished getting my car registration. And I went to I made three separate trips.
This is awful.
One to a place
I have to do it today.
That doesn't accept registration renewal. And another, I had to go twice because I didn't have the right paperwork. My own fault. The Astros game, which I could not watch in the DMV because DMVs are, of course, hellscapes. And despite paying an astronomical amount of money for Fubo TV to stream, of course, the DMV is like, oh, you have a cell phone now and you can entertain yourself while you're waiting to be taken care of? Ha! We're going to block your cell phone signal so you can't watch anything.
You can't listen to anything. You can just use data, right?
I was trying to use data. There's no Wi-Fi.
Wait, the DMV has the power to do that?
No, but this is my conspiracy theory.
Oh, okay, I was going to say.
It's like you get to the DMV. Oh, you think you're not going to be miserable in 2022 because you have a cell phone? Hell no. We're going to block out the signal. You're not going to be able to do anything. That's at least the vibe that I got. But anyway, sorry. Long tangent aside. I did all of these things, and the game was 1-1 in the ninth, and it was still in progress when I got back. I remember thinking to myself, oh, okay, well, you know, I'll watch a recap of the game. We'll see what happened, because I was frustrated with how long it took. The game was in the ninth inning! 3 hours and 50 minutes for a game that featured two runs in the first nine innings. I'm sorry, that is unacceptable. Something has to be done about that. You can't let batters out of the batting box. You got to enforce pitch clocks. You got to be, if you're an umpire, you got to be on them a little bit more than this. Because this is the kind of stuff that I feel like turns people like me, yes, a casual baseball fan, off to the point where if the Astros weren't a good team, would I go out of my way to watch a baseball game? I don't know.
It goes back to the long conversations that we've had even this year. I mean, baseball being more modern and having quicker games has been a discussion for years and years and years. But think about just what we've this calendar year, and we're only in April. The combine getting better ratings than certain baseball games in general, and then the lockout always being a second story to anything going on within the NFL. I mean, these are discussions that have been having, you know, baseball is always going to have an audience. But when you look at the different things that they're trying, right? Baseball has now these Apple broadcasts with with broadcasters who aren't even talking about the game, which Paul loves.
Well,
Paul loves him some Katie Nolan.
I have ADD. Oh, wow. Sean Makes just made this behind the glass. Like, this
Paul
is what I like when I see Katie Nolan.
Katie
Whatever.
Nolan.
Katie Nolan.
The third
laying on your one. Laying on your stomach right in front of the TV with your legs kicked up in the air.
I'm Paul, and I love funny girls that are self-deprecating.
Yeah. You know my type.
She's a little old for you. 9-3, she's not a college girl in Scottsdale. 9-3-2-4 on the text line says Jesus Presley just needs to do his job. Yeah, not a good night for Ryan Presley with the Astros.
I get that line of thinking, and I mean, you went in with to your half of the 10th inning, and you know, you have the lead, but I don't want to throw too much at Ryan Presley or anyone, because it's weird now in extra innings. There's a runner on second to start things off. Obviously, he did not have a good inning, because I think he had a walk too, right? So, it was a bad inning for Ryan Presley. He has to be better, you know?
But he usually is. And, you know, like we said, we're not worried early on, this early in the season.
Two walks and the single allowed after, yeah. It was a bad inning for him. I don't know why I'm trying to defend him here. All I'm saying is that I'm going to be a little bit less critical of pitchers that are coming into a game where there's no outs and there's a runner on second base. Like, I think that's a very tough task for anyone, especially if the flow of the game maybe was as such, where at some point you figure some guys are going to finally get hits in a game that featured no offense for 3 hours and 50 minutes. Am I bitter about it? No, not at all. I don't hate watching baseball games for 4 hours when there's 162 of them. Nope, not me.
The Astros play the Mariners beginning tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday, and then they open at home. I'm very excited for this because this was a very long road trip to start the season. Monday, April 18th at 7:10 p.m., the home opener at Minute Maid Park, the Angels visiting.
Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
It'd be a good one.
For whatever reason, feeling the need to be from both Los Angeles and Anaheim, which are two distinctly different places. But whatever, that's neither here nor there either.
Oh, really? Because you just said that Portland and Seattle having the same type of donuts.
Pacific Northwest.
Thank you, Sean. Did it?
It's a region, right?
It's a region.
Can you say that Pacific Northwest donuts?
But no, you're hailing Seattle's donut scene, and then you said, and you know, Voodoo Donuts is from... Well, the Pacific Northwest, that's not a feather in the cap of Seattle.
So
it's from a different town.
That's like me saying, oh, well, there's really great food in Kansas City, and it's in the Midwest, so you might as well say Indianapolis has.
There's legitimately two.
The barbecue is not good in Indianapolis.
There's only two cities in the entire, northwestern half of the United States. There are literally two cities. That's it. It's just Seattle and Portland. The rest is just trees. That's it.
No love for Olympia, the state capital?
Doesn't count. No, not a real
place. What about Salem, the state capital of Oregon?
No, not a real place.
I know a lot of state capitals.
Wait, you're smart. Like, I could tell you're smart, but you're, really smart.
Yeah. You sound a little surprised, but that's...
No,
what's the capital of Vermont, Sean?
No.
Montpelier.
Hell yeah, okay.
You're very young. Like, Sean is very accomplished and is very young, so it's just...
I'm young. I'm not sure about accomplished.
Yeah, you're both.
I know state
capital. You're smart. We're going to find you a nice girl. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, I just saw the most disturbing tweet that I've ever seen, maybe in my life,
and not
saying something.
And this is the guy that texts my trap.
Yes.
Can't anymore.
We're also going to get into our
canceled
homie Lance Zierlein's latest mock draft. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I need you to understand that I just saw the most moronic tweet.
Moronic.
The most sad tweet. The most "the world needs to end now" tweet that I've seen.
Is it cancelable? Is this something that we're going to look back at, Vanessa?
I sarcastically say yes, but the guy that tweeted that is a good kid.
Do we know this anymore? Is he still a good kid after putting this out here?
This is really bad.
This is bad energy.
It's really bad. Kyle Hamilton, safety from Notre Dame, who by all accounts interviews well, people like him, nice guy, academically smart. But you know what? Sometimes being academically smart doesn't mean that you are street smart.
Whoa. That was very pointed when you said that, mm-hmm. Vanessa.
Kyle Hamilton tweeted, Drake is the best artist ever, including Michael Jackson. And LeBron is the best basketball player ever, including Michael Jordan. These are hills I'll never come down.
And the whole point of his tweet, he was being cutesy and saying they were both MJ.
Right.
Okay. So look, I can't speak on the Drake versus Michael Jackson thing.
But it's not... What do you mean you can't speak on it?
I can't.
That's the more obvious one.
I don't know.
LeBron and Michael Jordan is fine. If you want to say LeBron, look, I think Michael Jordan's better. I always will. But LeBron and Michael Jordan, you can at least say, like, there's a discussion, a debate. Drake being the best artist ever over Michael Jackson and Prince?
It may.
And Elton John?
Mean nothing to y'all.
And Led Zeppelin?
Look,
Across genres.
I don't get
That's
Drake's
so
appeal.
Bad.
But as I get older in life, I have begun to realize that someone's musical taste, I'm not going to get mad about it.
Oh my God.
I'm not. Paul. I'm not.
Paul, here's the funny
Unless
thing.
Unless they like Pantera.
Here's the thing. You get mad about everything. And then the one thing that is actually legitimately like egregious, like saying that Drake, here's the thing. He didn't say Drake is the best rapper ever, which would have been bad. Okay. He said Drake's the best artist ever. Like over the Rolling Stones and Bob Dylan and Aretha Franklin and Marvin Gaye and Garth Brooks. You could go genre to the best artist ever?
Anyone who's ever made music. Anyone who's ever done.
Right.
Drake is better than. That's what Kyle Hamilton said.
Insanity.
Well.
Yeah, look. No, there's no well. No, that's the thing is that you keep saying well. There's no well. And this is coming from somebody that gets mad about everything.
I don't know anything about music.
One of the worst tweets I've ever seen in my life.
I'm trying to turn the page.
Don't turn the page here. There's no reason for you to turn the page. If you're going to get mad about something, this is something you can get mad about.
Fair enough.
Awful.
I'm more mad about the Michael Jordan over LeBron thing. LeBron didn't make the playoffs this year. Like, I'm sorry. This conversation's over. This is over. And here's LeBron laughing at Patrick Beverley. Oh, wow. Paul brings it back to Patrick Beverley. I think that if you're putting both of those in the same tweet, yeah, this is cancelable. This is just like when Kyler Murray said that his favorite movie ever is The Great Gatsby.
He had said the newer version.
Right.
Wait, yeah.
So I know movies, and I know for a fact, like, you're like a complete idiot if you think that. That movie is just a giant piece of CGI DUI
Great
trash.
Book, Great book.
The book's awesome. That's why I was so pumped about it. But turns out if you make Tobey Maguire the main character in something so that's after Spider-Man 1, it's probably not going to go so hot for you. Tobey Maguire.
Not a big fan of Spider-Man 2?
Spider-Man 2 was okay.
Yeah, come on.
You're right. Spider-Man 2 actually held up, you know? But
Doc Ock? Let's go.
Spider-Man 3 was just traumatizing with how bad it was. Okay, I'll allow Vanessa. I'm sorry. I am sorry for
I just can't
not
believe
pushing
you're being
back.
So calm about something that's so bad, and then you'll get mad about something like people's cream cheese preference on bagels, but then when somebody makes the most egregious musical claim ever.
Wild
You're
card.
Like, oh, everybody has different opinions. It's America. Everybody's like,
oh, wild card, baby. You never know what you're
going
to get.
Awful. Kyle Hamilton with the worst tweet that I've ever seen.
So he can't be drafted now.
He can be drafted, but they just have to understand that.
Seventh round.
Yeah, I actually think he's going to be a great player. Some people need educated on music. Okay, so rolling along on Vanessa and Glon, I'm Vanessa Richardson, he's Paul Glon. Our producer is Sean Mapes, and our coworker, Lance Erline, who also works for NFL Network, is really, really great at mock drafts. He makes them every year, and he updated one. This is Lance Zierlein's latest mock draft. Now, they were talking about this on Good Morning Football on NFL Network, and this was a big segment that they had because Lance, in his latest mock draft, does not have a quarterback going in the top 10. The first quarterback he has is Malik Willis going at number 16 to the New Orleans Saints. What are your thoughts at our colleague Lance Zierlein? Do you think that this will happen? Do you think it's possible?
Well, I feel the thing with Lance that you get is that Lance seems to go outside the box a lot, and it feels like there's a lot of groupthink that goes on, and then all of a sudden you see where Lance is going with his draft board. And this seems like it's more likely that a quarterback is going – the quarterbacks are going to slip. You don't want to force it. I do just wonder about one team in particular, and I'm having a hard time envisioning them not drafting a quarterback sixth overall. Carolina, I have a hard time seeing the top quarterbacks on the board, both of them not going to Carolina, because I don't see what Carolina's alternative is. If you're Matt Rhule, you need someone better than Sam Darnold. He's not good. And six is the only spot where you have a chance to, and I feel like they're going to swing for the fences with somebody. So that's the only thing I'm looking at as the potential wrench. But from the sound of things, like, I know that people were excited about Malik Willis's pro day, but people are also wondering, okay, he's 6'2". He doesn't really play great right in the pocket, at least to the degree that you maybe would want someone like him to play in. Kenny Pickett's been in college for years and years, and, you know, is he really that transcendent of a player? Yeah. I could definitely see that happening. It's one of those years where it feels like of all the guys, and I was listening to another NFL podcast, and I forget the guest who was on it, but this person studies quarterbacks, and they were like, yeah, like Desmond Ridder is my highest graded quarterback, the kid out of Cincinnati. And they said, like, he's mobile and he's the most pro ready right now. And
Desmond Ridder has a lot of chatter.
He does.
Yeah.
But it seems like he's going to be an early second round pick at best. So, yeah, I could definitely see the quarterback slipping. It's just a matter of Carolina would have to do something that would go against everything that they need to be right now, which is, I think, a team that's actively going after a QB.
Lance Erline's latest mock draft, by the way, on NFL.com, the Houston Texans are selecting Evan Neal with that pick number 3. I think a lot of people would like that.
I want a corner.
Yeah.
I want a corner.
You've been pro corner.
I think you could probably get one of those guys at 13, maybe Derek Stingley, just based off of what's been going on since 2019, where he was so awesome. But I don't know. Something tells me those guys are both going to be gone by the time you pick at 13. And sure, you can get a pass rusher, or you can get an interior offensive lineman or something like that. I don't know. I want a corner. I feel like if Lovie Smith thinks he needs a corner for this team to play at its best, then they should get one, because that's an opportunity to potentially find yourself the next Jalen Ramsey.
The hard part with this team, though, is that there's a lot of needs.
Oh,
I mean,
you can
look at a lot of different positions and a lot of guys in this draft and say that the Texans could use a running back, the Texans could use a corner, the Texans could use, you know, a tackle. It's very broad.
What would annoy you the most? And again, draft day, no one knows anything. Say you're one of those people that's going to the Texans draft party, which I think is taking place at the Houston Zoo or somewhere around that general area.
That'll be fun.
If you're there and you're one of these people, you've had a couple of beverages, what position is going to make you boo the loudest if they draft it? Because I've always gotten a kick out of going to the draft parties. I would go around and ask people, like, who's your favorite prospect? And then I would just make up somebody's name and, like, what do you think about Richard Tompkins? And, like, it would be a fake person. They're like, yeah, I mean, he's really good. Like, no one knows anything about the draft. What position, though, if you're there and they draft the guy, you'd be pissed off. And you'd be like, boo!
Because,
like,
I don't think there are any generational quarterbacks.
So you'd be mad about a quarterback.
I don't think that they should pick a quarterback.
And I think that's the one position that we can safely say they won't draft.
I think
draft.
That I'd like to see Davis Mills do more work. I think that for how late he was taken, I think he did a good job. And I'd like to see the potential he has. This team isn't going to any AFC championships anytime soon. So I don't think that you take a quarterback. And they have so many defensive needs. What about you? What's the position that if they took, you would freak out?
There's a part of me that feels that they might decide to go pass rusher or defensive lineman or something like that. And I wouldn't be upset about it as much as I just feel like there's a lot of boom or bust at both defensive end and at tackle too. So I guess I would be more nervous about what could potentially happen. I suppose there's risk with every single position, but specifically pass rushers, sometimes you draft the guy and the guy just doesn't have it. And I know that we've with Kayvon Thibodeau, like, that's a name that's been floated out there as maybe not having everything that people want. Mm-hmm. I mean, that might be people talking out of their ass, but it also might be something where, hey, he doesn't have the kind of motor that you wanted. What have you seen when you've drafted pass rushers before early on? Jadeveon Clowney didn't work out in the way that you wanted to. Mario Williams didn't work out in the way that you wanted it to. It worked with J.J. Watt, but that was later on. So I guess probably defensive linemen, because I feel like they've gone that route before and it hasn't worked out for them.
If you had a lot of beverages, would you boo?
Oh, booing's fun. I was booing Ryan Tannehill at that Titans game. That was awesome. It was like, you're holding your team back, Ryan!
Coming up,
you're holding them back!
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to get into a quarterback getting pretty sensitive with the media.
And coming up on Saturday, hey-o, you got to fight! Fight, 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 fight. A welterweight fight up in Arlington. Errol Spence Jr., Jordanas Ugas. It is a match between a couple of guys who have been fighting for that welterweight crown. It's going to be on Showtime pay-per-view on Saturday. Spence, if you didn't know that, he was in a car accident in 2019 and had a nice fight against Danny Garcia in December of 2020. So in 2021, he was supposed to fight Manny Pacquiao. He couldn't fight him because he broke his eye. Ow! His orbital bone had to withdraw. So that's where Jordanas Ugas stepped in, and he beat Pacquiao's patootie and got the WBA crown. So now these guys are going to do battle to determine who will be the welterweight champion, the welterweight unification bout. Spence, Ugas, it is Saturday, 8 o'clock Central Time, live on pay-per-view for Showtime. Order now, order now, order it now, or I will find you. I won't actually find you. I'm just saying order it now because it'll be fun fighting, people beating each other up. Make sure you watch it.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey, 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 I'm Vanessa Richardson. He's Paul Gallant. Our producer behind the glass is Sean Mapes, and we're rolling along on a Thursday, almost Friday, guys.
Almost Friday. Almost Good Friday.
It is almost Good Friday.
Yeah.
I can't believe Easter's this, and my birthday's Saturday. I keep forgetting that.
How about that? Happy birthday.
Yeah, thanks. It's going to be...
This is everyone's got an April birthday on this show.
Wait, Sean, when's yours?
April 23rd.
What?
All right.
April babies. Aries, as they call
them. Three straight weeks,
even though I don't believe in any of that.
I mean, why are any of us working? It's our birthday weeks. It's our show's birthday weeks.
Oh, we should have gotten 3 weeks off for each of our birthdays.
Yeah. Right. I mean,
it made total sense.
Don't you want to identify as Generation Z right now so that you would be able to do that? Because those people, like, just don't give the remotest of craps about, like, responsibility.
They think it's abuse if they have to work on their birthdays. They think it's toxic.
Their birthday week, by the way. Like, not their birthday. Their birthday week. It's funny. And now I'm at the point, this is the first year where I'm like, well, it happened. I mean, I was happy to have a birthday and to have people send me well wishes. But I was like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
On to the next one.
I feel you on that. Hey, Derek Carr and the Raiders agreeing to 3 years. It's a 3-year contract extension worth $121.5 million. Carries him through the 2025 season, and he's already the longest tenured quarterback in the AFC. So he met with the media yesterday. Obviously excited about that new addition of Davante Adams, his high college friend from Fresno State, former teammate, now current teammate. But he got a little bit sensitive with the media. When they asked if he thinks that they can win a playoff game. Here was Derek Carr with the media. Oh, we don't have it.
Okay. Derek Carr said this.
My bad, Sean.
The question of, can I win a playoff game? Yeah. That's ridiculous. Sounds better when I dramatically read it.
Yeah, you are being more dramatic about it.
Just because we haven't. Just because we had one chance and we lost in the last series of the game to the AFC champions. Yes. I think we can win a playoff game. I'll say this about Derek Carr. Better quarterback than people give him credit for, but notably sensitive quarterback online. Someone who goes and blocks people that aren't even mentioning him. This is known. I know that the fellows of the Around the NFL podcast, who are a merry, mirthy bunch, on NFL.com's website. Like, it's my favorite football podcast. Were blocked, and they had no idea that they were blocked by Derek Carr.
Wait, really?
Yeah, oh yeah. And it was a part of a show bit, like where they worked through David to get unblocked, and they had Derek Carr on, and they were very nice with him. But Derek Carr is a little sensitive, and he has been sensitive the last couple of years because people have always been asking him about his job and whether or not he can get it done. It's fair to ask. He hasn't won a playoff game yet. He hasn't. Remember that game between Brock Osweiler?
And it's not going to be easy for him to win. He's there in the AFC.
Right.
So it's not going to be easy for them to win one this year.
And the AFC West. So it's not going to be easy for him to get there.
The best division in all of the league.
Right now, at the very least, on paper. So, look, they had some great momentum at the end of the year. They did play well against the Bengals in that game. It was a weird game with that weird call that you had. That was the whistle that took place. Whatever. He is sensitive. And I feel like this, sort of like with Baker Mayfield, is going to be something that maybe he's always a little bit too in his way. Is it going to prevent him from winning a championship? I don't know if this definitively would. But I feel like he needs to not get so upset when people ask these questions and just try to accept the fact that he's on a good team in a good place. And they sort of committed to him. Although, I was surprised, Vanessa, to see the guaranteed numbers for Derek Carr's
deal. And he had
deal.
A no-trade clause, by the way. Very trendy among quarterbacks right now.
Does have the no-trade clause, but as far as what's fully guaranteed, it's not that much. It's $24.9 million fully guaranteed. That's not that much. So it feels like, once again, even though the big contract says the Raiders are committed to Derek Carr, the Raiders are kind of committed to Derek Carr, but if there was a better option available, they would perhaps swipe right, slide in.
Is Derek Carr a top five quarterback in the AFC?
No.
Who are the five you have before them, before him?
Got to put Patrick Mahomes, got to put Josh Allen in.
You put Lamar?
Depends on if it's the first game of the season, yes. I think I would put Lamar there. Justin Herbert, I think you put in that conversation. I would definitely think about Deshaun Watson when he is out there.
Once he's unsuspended.
I would say
suspended.
Russell Wilson. I feel like in the AFC South, that's like the one division where you say, oh, he's clearly better than every quarterback in the AFC South right now, including
right.
Trevor Lawrence. AFC East, he's probably better than Mac Jones. So I'd probably say he's like sixth or seventh. In the AFC, and that's not even counting Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, etc. He's not that high up.
Speaking of people speaking with the media, it's kind of a no-go in NCAA when you're a college player, but there was a Texas Longhorns player that was talking about just what it's been like to be at UT during the last couple of trying years. Defensive lineman Moro Ojomo, he actually went to Katy High School, so he's from the area. During an interview last week, he actually called out the younger players on the team and talked about the culture. He said, quote, they're 18 to 22-year-olds that want to chase women, want to chase money, want to chase alcohol, and they don't see the future, he told ESPN.
Damn.
They're distracted by what's in front of them. It's such a hard thing, especially guys that haven't been in a winning culture. So obviously Steve Sarkisian was not happy about this and said that it was a poor decision and said that he will not be talking with the media. This player won't be talking with the media for a while. While it might have been poor form in the whole, like, chasing money and chasing alcohol, it's like, dude, you and your teammates are in college.
Sounds fun.
This kid's from Katy, right? So he's like, he won all throughout high school.
He's from a football factory.
And then he gets to UT and thinks that they're going to be really good, and he's been there during some crappy years.
Texas's culture has been a problem for years and years and years. There's a reason that when Mac Brown was running things that they were thought of going into the draft as coddled players, and Charlie Strong did not dramatically change that. Tom Herman did not dramatically change that. And Steve Sarkisian sure as hell isn't. What an underwhelming hire that was. I still don't understand it for the life of me. What has Steve Sarkisian ever done of significance that merited being the head coach of the University of Texas, which is a job that can pay more than any other job in sports, and also buy out
it's the biggest athletic budget,
right? They
in the country,
they could theoretically have anyone, and they settled for this. So, look, I don't want to make it all about Steve Sarkisian, but I feel like a hard dose of reality is something that players in that locker room should be giving to the rest of the players. And I don't know. Sean, are you a UT fan?
Yeah, UT grad.
You went there, right?
Yep. Okay. So, I mean, what do you think about all of that?
I think Mauro Ojemo's right. So I'm not mad at him. If anything, I'm happy that at least someone in that locker room, he's going into his second or third year playing at least. So someone who, you know, is going to grow into being a leader has this mindset of like, hey, what we've been doing obviously hasn't been working. So, I mean, and I completely get why Sarkisian's like, hey, you're not talking to the media anymore.
Ojemo?
Yeah.
Ojemo.
Yeah, okay. Mauro Ojemo.
Mauro Ojemo.
It's a good name.
It is a good name.
I'm with you. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a player saying these things.
Yeah, right. You just don't say it. You keep that in the locker room.
I don't know, though. I don't know anymore with them. I mean, it's the same same stuff every year.
That's what Sark wants. He's like, hey, I'm sure he's not upset about like what he said. It's just that he said it to the whoever he said it to.
Mike McDaniel is who you look like. It took me – have you gotten that before?
Yes, Brendan Riley, when Mike McDaniels got hired, he was like, you know, you kind of remind me of the new Dolphins coach.
Sorry, it took me a week to figure out who you looked like, and it just came to me.
It just came to you right there.
I get Mike McDaniels and Lance McCullers. That's the two.
Yeah, I see Lance McCullers.
But if you really look at Mike McDaniel, especially with the hair flow, you look like – but great comments on UT from a UT grad. We appreciate that.
Yes. Yeah, just talking about my looks while I'm talking.
We're objectifying you. Radio objectifiers.
And I said earlier I wanted to find you a girlfriend. Hello, HR.
The hair.
Yeah, I'm making a visit to HR.
Yeah, well, listen, that's what happens. HR and P, baby. Hey, let's go.
Shout out to the sponsors. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we are not going to objectify Sean Mapes any longer. We go to our garbage time segment. We end the day. That's next.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're locked in with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I just heard Paul Gallant attempt to sing Gwen Stefani, and I am traumatized.
I'm just a girl, and I'm living in a world.
What?
It's a world that I'm living with myself.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
My dad's favorite singer.
Oh, really?
Gwen Stefani.
He likes Gwen Stefani?
She ain't no holla back girl. This my bleep.
That was a great song.
This bleep is bananas. Yeah, he loved that song. I have no idea why. It's the randomest thing about my dad.
It's time for Garbage Time, our last segment on Vanessa and Gallant. Producer Sean Mapes behind the glass. It's been a fun day.
It has.
As we wrap up, I ask you one question about your Lord and Savior, not Jesus Christ, Tom Brady.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the Holy Weekend, so of course we're talking about Tom Brady.
This is something that was brought up on a couple of NFL podcasts. Should the NFL want to know how truthful the allegations of maybe some tampering were between Miami and Brady?
The Dolphins should be fined, suspended 4 games from the league. They should lose their first round draft pick.
Oh.
They should be fined $250,000. That should go to whoever their head coach is now, Mike McDaniel. So sorry,
AKA Sean Mapes.
You're fined $250,000. Organizationally, they should be fined $500,000. I think that there should be justice done, because one time Tom Brady was suspended and that wasn't cool for 4 games because of, I thought, erroneous witch hunts.
Call by the NFL.
That's absolutely horrible. Mm-hmm.
Well deserved.
And because someone dared to tamper with a god, that team should be ejected from the NFL and sent to the USFL, because that's where their uniforms belong.
Let's assume that what happened with Brian Flores kind of knocked any chance of Brady going to Miami.
That seems to be the assumption.
I don't think he wants any part of that. And,
yeah.
But still some possible tampering.
Definite tampering. I mean, let's be honest. If there's enough smoke, there was a fire here. The Dolphins are idiots. They're one of the worst-run organizations in the NFL over the past 20 years. Of course they made it this messy and got sued by Brian Flores along the way. You can't tell me that the Dolphins weren't trying to make this happen.
They are
losers and have been trying to do this for years to make it actually happen.
Meanwhile, a Mississippi woman has been arrested after she allegedly waited after a softball game to punch an umpire in the face. She's a mother. Wasn't happy about a couple of calls.
So
really wasn't happy.
Was she the parent or was she a player?
She was a parent.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, I could almost get behind it. Just kidding. If it were someone who was playing in a softball game, I could understand, hey, this is the athlete mentality. But the actual mom, listen, I'm trying to think of a way that someone would lose their temper like that. If it's a parent and you're punching the umpire, was it to the face? Do we know?
It was to the face. Look at this poor lady's face.
Oh, damn.
She's actually attractive.
Shiner in the eye.
Yeah, and she has this big shiner because of a mom. She had just umpired a game for 12-year-olds.
Oh, my God.
In Mississippi.
Oh, boy. Well, listen, people. The last thing that your kid, and I don't have a kid, but the last thing your kid ever
that
wants
you know of.
Is to embarrass you. Hey, hang on. That is uncalled for. I would say if you are...
Some girl at Arizona State just had a baby.
Nope. Because this is why you always use protection, Vanessa. Anyway, I'm going back to this story. Your parent, if you are a kid, the last thing you ever want is for your parent to embarrass you.
Yeah.
And nothing is more embarrassing than your parent punching an umpire in the face. Like, they're all going to think she's a psycho from here on out. So... And that's just my advice as someone who, as a son of parents, I'm glad that they never embarrassed me.
Somebody's been fired. Thandie Newton fired from the new Magic Mike movie after getting into a heated argument with Channing Tatum.
And guess what? The argument was over.
Well, you're going to have to explain this to me because you know the story better than I do.
So Thandie Newton was fired because she got into a heated argument with Channing Tatum for Magic Mike 3. Apparently they're making another one.
Why?
Because it was... Because of the Will Smith slap of Chris Rock. It's the argument that is ruining America. Some people, the old school types, feel you got to defend your woman. Others are like, it's stand-up comedy. It's free speech. And I don't know what side Channing Tatum was on or what side Thandie Newton was on. But the feud escalated to such astonishing and unimaginably vicious levels that Tatum stormed off the West London set of Magic Mike's Last Dance and drove off in a car. They've been filming for 11 days before the dramatic turn of events. Producers of the sequel recast Newton's lead female role. It'll now be played by Selma Hayek instead. I'm curious as to who
Selma
was...
Selma Hayek's way older than Thandie Newton, no?
That is a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
Hmm.
I think Thandie Newton is underrated as far as the old looks department. Because everyone who says, oh, Selma Hayek, yeah. Thandie Newton not doing too bad herself. I'm surprised by this, that it was something that led to...
Oh, no, Thandie Newton's 50.
People getting into such an argument where someone had to be taken off of the movie. Like, what take could you possibly have had? And what could you have said as a result of that take that led to you getting fired from the actual movie?
Chris Rock is joking about it on tour, talking about it on his comedy tour. Will Smith has issued an apology. So I don't understand how you can be that invested in somebody else's life.
No, I don't either. This is from the world of baseball.
Okay.
You know who John Sterling is, mm-hmm. Vanessa? He's the radio play-by-play voice of the New York Yankees.
Okay.
He loves to make some dad joke-esque rhymes. He has a beautiful voice, and I actually enjoy him. But he's getting up there in age, and he's starting to not see what's actually happening as he calls these games on the radio and serves as listeners' eyes. Here is the latest mess up by John Sterling.
This Hicks. Here's the 1-0. Swung on. There it goes. Deep left center. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. But caught. At the wall. Caught by Tapia. Boy, I thought that was gone. So Stanton got close. He sent Tapia back to the wall to make the catch. And the Yankees come up just empty. That would have tied the game.
It would have tied the game. That's true, John.
He said,
if it happened that way, it would have tied the game. I don't want to make fun of somebody for not seeing it. And I'm actually curious as to if the Yankees radio broadcast is actually going on the road with the team again, because I felt like that has been a problem for a lot of broadcasters across sports.
It has been. I had talked to Robert Ford about that, who does radio for the
Are they
the
traveling
Astros.
Again?
They are. But to your point, that was a major issue.
Yeah.
That delay, seeing everything.
If you're watching on TV and then all of a sudden you see the ball hit off the bat and you have to wait for that reverse camera angle and to see where the outfielder is running, it is a little bit difficult. But yeah, Sterling is definitely one for premature home run calls. This has been happening a lot in the last like 5 or 6 years. It's just generally happened with Giancarlo Stanton like once a week, it feels like. That's an exaggeration, of course. But, man, I wonder how much longer Sterling's got on the mic. That seems like one of those jobs that you get to have for life. But
like Vince Scully, who got to write his own exit.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Are you going to pressure out Vince Scully?
No,
you can't pressure out John Sterling either. I mean, his voice is amazing. I don't care what. And I love his stupid home run calls. I think they're cute. And this is the voice of the Yankees we're talking about. I actually appreciate the guy.
NFT collector gets got $280 for the Jack Dorsey tweet.
I'm going to screenshot it.
He bought for $2.9 million last year. The whole NFT thing is obnoxious to me. I'm sorry, I don't like it. I know that sounds old school. Get off my lawn. I think it's dumb. And I don't think it's going to... I think it's going to be like Blu-ray. Do you remember when everybody was like, you have to have Blu-ray.
Oh,
DVDs are
that.
Out. Blu-ray is in. And then Blu-ray never happened.
It was funny. If you ever go to a Best Buy or a electronics store in the early 2000s, yeah. And almost every single time, they would have Kingdom of Heaven on display as like the gold standard of Blu-ray movies. And by the way, that is an awesome movie. I think it's one of the more...
Who's in it?
Orlando Bloom's in it. Ava Green's in it. A couple other people that you might recognize. But it's Liam Neeson's in it for a little bit too. It's a great movie. But that used to always be the movie that people would say, you need to get Blu-ray because of this movie. Instead of seeing just a couple of people in the way background, you'll see 73. And it was like, okay, this seems like it's a little bit much. Yeah, the NFT thing, look, someone can explain it to me probably, and I'm still, like, they could actually explain to me how this does work out. But yeah, it's confusing to me because I feel like with an NFT, we're talking about something that exists in a virtual space, but it doesn't actually exist in real life. Are we moving to the metaverse? Are all of our bodies all of a sudden at some point going to be part of a simulation?
I've heard Darren Rovell try to explain it. And
not nerd, no.
For me, it's just like people that think that they're smarter than they actually are. this is weird. Do you remember when Ronald Reagan almost got assassinated? This is in 1981, so we weren't around. By John Hinckley Jr. attempted to assassinate former President Ronald Reagan.
Okay.
He now sings and plays guitar.
Okay.
And is playing a sold-out concert in Brooklyn this summer.
The
guy who tried to kill Ronald Reagan is out of prison.
What?
And is playing a
sold-out
concert.
What are his songs? Remember the time I shot the president? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Like,
how does this happen?
That's weird. Yeah. You would think that, yeah, you try to do something like that. I mean, you're going to get a punishment. Like, Tom Brady was punished more than that guy was.
Yes, he was. Hinckley seriously injured Reagan as well as three others, but was found not guilty by reason of insanity. He was released from psychiatric care in 2016 and later started focusing on a music career. In fact, Paul, this is going to really make Paul Gallant mad because Paul hates when people go viral quickly and get fame.
No.
John Hinckley Jr.'s YouTube channel, which he started posting videos from in 2020. This is from WG in Chicago, by the way. Has more than 26,000 subscribers.
What is he post? Like, now I'm just sad. Like,
he sings. He sings.
What?
John Hinckley Jr. This is him.
That's him?
26,000 subscribers playing a sold-out show in Brooklyn. So if you try to assassinate a president, you're set for the rest of your life, apparently. Wasn't he the one obsessed with Jodie Foster, too?
No, that's Taxi Driver.
Oh.
That's the movie, right?
I thought, oh, no, the guy that shot John Lennon was obsessed with Jodie Foster.
Oh, okay.
Jodie Foster ties into one of these assassinations.
Gotcha, okay.
Somehow.
Jodie Foster assassinated Ronald Reagan. Just kidding. We don't know anything.
Meanwhile, John Rothstein tweeting, Missouri's Dennis Gates will hire Dickie Nutt as an assistant coach. Nutt and Gates have worked together previously. You can imagine the name Dickie Nutt is getting some attention online.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
I can't get over that guy is doing so well. Oh, we have one last one to get to. This is
garbage time.
This is just garbage time. Vanessa and Gallant. Do we have time for this one, Sean? Okay. So there's a viral video of a Mets fan, and look, Mets fans are kind of something else. As it
no offense, Jake Asman.
Right, but Mets fans and Phillies fans don't like each other. So there's a Mets fan talking trash to Phillies fans, and he's holding his phone up in a Phillies fan's face. The Philly fan, they're up in the upper deck of the stadium, grabs the phone and throws it off the ledge. And then this conversation takes place. And I'm sorry, this is just the most Philadelphia sports fan comment I've ever heard.
I think the entire stadium's laughing at you. Yo, call me when you get your phone.
They're laughing at you. You're laughing at you for losing your phone.
I'm on Team Phillies fans here.
Why?
Because that
you
Mets
throw
fan,
your phone off
that
the rafters.
Mets fan was getting so cocky, rubbing it in his face. Yeah, throw the phone.
Yeah, that's a theft, brother.
I like the passion here. This has been Vanessa and Glot.
Vanessa's
Thank
from
you
Philadelphia,
to
secretly.
Mike McDaniel. I mean, Sean Mapes behind the glass. Appreciate all of you who
Mike
called
McDaniel,
in today.
Mike McDaniel, producing a radio show.
We have the Killer Bees up next. Jeremy Branham,
Joel
Blank. Stick around, guys. Have a good one.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.